Let's go to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, and into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now the reason that's so important is in all of the teachings of the Messianic Age, peace was the evidence that you were in the Messianic Age. Now, peace is a big deal. In the true search for all men, that's really what you're searching for, is peace of mind, peace, the absence of againstness, the understanding that everything is at peace. The problem with the way the King James translated this, it's an awkward sentence. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and then goodwill toward men. What it actually says in the Greek is the goodwill of God towards men, or the Messiah, is glory to God and is the only peace on earth. And so we sing these songs, peace on earth, goodwill to men, every Christmas. And we talk about peace all the time. They're talking about peace now in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And a big deal now in Haiti. And so the nations are always trying to be at peace, and the way you get to peace is by war, which is like screwing for virginity. But the point of it is that there is no peace and never will be to the nations of the world, to the people of the world, the heritage of the fall of man is constant turmoil, constant wars, constant rumors of wars. It never ends. But more importantly, there is no peace to individuals. We equate peace and happiness. John and I wrote the last word a while back about how the place that is most happy in the world are the places that are most happy in the world are the places which have none of the things that we think would bring happiness. And we're the most happy people in the world were in the places that were the poorest, places like Nigeria and places where you couldn't possibly believe that there could be happiness by any of our understandings. We always believe that peace will be granted and given and gained by the changing of situations, the going somewhere else, the acquiring of stuff, the finding the right soulmate. And so, but peace is like the ocean. It can never be found. It's like the ocean can never be filled. Peace can never be found by acquiring. And the only way, the ancient Jewish rabbis were right, the evidence of the age of the Messiah and your apprehension of it is peace. But without any other external factors. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The peace that passes or is beyond understanding." Now, to everyone who has named the name of Christ, their heritage is peace of mind. It is constant. It is never changing. It is never dependent on external circumstances. It is not dependent on acquiring. In fact, the attempt to acquire will cause you to lose the peace. It is the basis of the peace of the Messianic age is that it is finished. And your apprehension of that there is nothing left for you to do, that all things necessary for you to be complete have already been accomplished, that there are no more things to do. There's nothing more to learn. There's nothing more to become. There's no career path that's going to fulfill you. I was talking to Burkhard yesterday, and you know, I was a pretty normal person until I was about 16, and something snapped. And I don't know what it was. I think it was some kind of hormone change in my body, but I just became a massive juvenile delinquent, and nothing would give me peace. And that was true until the day that I was apprehended by Christ. I traveled all over the world. I gained wealth. I tried everything that my mind could conceive of. And there was no peace until I found out what the angel said: the good will of God towards men is the Messiah, and it is the glory of God, and is the only peace on earth. It is the only evidence that we have been living in the age of Messiah for 2,000 years. The problem is only a very small group of people have ever apprehended it. Now, if there is anything troubling you, it is a lie. If there's anything you're concerned with, it is an untruth. Remember that thing that Brad Bailey wrote? From Cadillacs to Cancer?
Anthrax to Putnam.
Yeah. You're always at peace. there is nothing wrong in the economy of God. Now, we've talked about this so many times, but I think you forget it because what?
Sure. Stay
as still as I can.
Alex is making a scene noise in the background. He's giving you the raspberry.
I tell you what, if that disturbs your peace, you're in great trouble. Let's go to number 6. In terms of historicity, this is probably the most quoted scripture in the Bible, what we're about to read. And the Lord, in verse 22, number 6. Everybody there? Waiting patiently in peace for Gary to find number 6.
Oh, I've been there for a while.
Oh. Yeah.
He's so in tune, he was there just before you asked for.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now every time that someone is baptized, every time a presentation was made in the temple, every time that almost anything of any significance happens, since these words were written, these words are said. And it's called the priestly blessing or the priestly benediction. That's what we do when we dedicate the children and many other things. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, in Hebrew, the word shalom is peace. It's also used as a greeting and everything else. But most interestingly, many times in the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, the word shalom is defined as prosperity. Remember yesterday we said the meaning of prosperity in the New Testament is that you have completed the journey. And the Psalms, especially the Messianic Psalms about Christ, speak of this idea of shalom as peace. I mean, as prosperity, because you have successfully completed the journey that was the intent of time and space. Can you get it in your head? Is it some way that it can penetrate that today, right now, you are seated in the heavenlies with Christ on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim? All things are finished. Even the cardinal points of the compass are bowed down. Everything is done. All your warfare is over. Can that capture you just for a second? There's never going to be peace on earth. The Lord said, Jesus said, I came not to bring peace on earth, but a sword. But he came to bring peace in earth. In you is the earthen vessel. And you crucify him afresh. If you do anything other than repent, if you're not at peace. That's why I get so mad at Harry when he comes to me with a problem and somebody has affected his world. or any of you. Nobody else can be responsible for you losing peace, the absence of againstness, the prosperity, the completion of the journey, the perfection that has been given you is already there. It has been there for 2,000 years, and you simply have to see it, apprehend it, know it. There's no work left to do. The goodwill of God towards men is the glory to God and is the only peace on earth. Now, the Psalms also tell us that peace is the Messiah. Just like Jesus says, He is truth, He is the way, He is the life. It also says He is peace. Now, He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The completion of that peace is already finished, over, done in every person that has ever entered into the world. If you can finally come to the end of your own striving. Now think back on your life. Think of all of the striving over the infinite number of details, the infinite number of tests, the infinite number of lies you've told to act like you have something. They're all gone. The infinite number of great ideas that have done nothing for you. As I've said so often, every idea and invention of man since the revelation of Christ on the cross has been an attempt to flee from that revelation, to make man believe that he can find peace through his own inventions. And yet every device, every idea, every invention, every improvement has only caused peace to be more and more and more rare because man is going in the wrong direction. If you see anything, if you know anything about this, and you watch that movie, The Passion, this is what you will see. That there is no excuse for you not to be in perfect peace. There's no excuse for you thinking that you need more than you have. There's no excuse to live in any other state other than that childlike place of being totally 100% dependent on God. And knowing that He is faithful. I read in one of the reviews, the guy quoted, and it was written for a Christian audience. I mean, it was written by Christians. The only thing he was concerned about in that movie was that it denies that God helps those that help themselves. Again, do you realize that in evangelical Christianity, among 65 million Christians, the most popular verse in the Bible, according to them, other than God so loved the world that He gave His Son, is God helps those that help themselves. And that is not in the Bible.
Yeah,
it's in the book of Ben Franklin. But how did that happen? Why did that happen? How can everybody believe that God helps? I mean, people have told me that a million times when I preach the cross. No, God helps those that help themselves. The reason that became so popular is that's the mantra of the deity within you this false being that's trying to deny that it's finished. But if it wasn't, if Ben Franklin hadn't invented it, you would have. Somebody wants to find peace as the reconciliation with the first source. The reconciliation with the source that has no need for citation or citing or reference. It's simply the reconciliation that you have completed your journey, that there's nothing left for you to do, that everything is exactly as it should be, that everything is exactly finished in a perfect manner, and you can be at rest. Now, anybody have any response?
When you're talking about peace, you had to use the phrase today, right now. And it just clarifies today and right now are both the same moment. Yesterday was the same moment. 2,000 years has been today. And that and when you see what you're talking about, you see this peace, that's where it's apprehended and captured. That's where we live. And when we walk out, there's going to be everything in the world bombarded trying to move us out of that scene.
Especially this.
Yeah, I mean, that's his job first.
This instead of Christ.
Number, yeah.
This number 666.
Yeah. But once it's been gripped or seen or apprehended, then it's, you return to it because you know it. Experience. But the idea that today and right now are the same moment. Time is not in that equation.
The gift of God is eternal life. That doesn't mean you're going to live a long, long time. It means you have the right to live the life without recognition of time. Ha olam, the vanishing point.
When you teach about the Lord's Prayer and it talks about give us this day our daily bread, don't you say something like the bread of the face? Does that have to do with this blessing, the face?
Yeah.
The face of the Lord?
I was remembering the first time I got baptized. Well, it seemed like it was the first time. I've been baptized not many times.
No, you weren't baptized. You can only be baptized once. You just got a lot. You just got wet a lot.
Yeah, I got wet a lot.
Roll away.
And that's, I was remembering that's what you said to me.
You didn't believe me, though, did you?
At that moment, I did until the moment passed.
Hey, what happened?
What happened is you.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Just remember, 2,000 years ago, that John saw the New Jerusalem descending. It didn't go back up again. We're not playing spiritual yo-yo. The New Jerusalem has descended. It descended at the cross. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom. All of time has been passing through that temple of the New Jerusalem. And everything that didn't originate from him goes out the draw. Everything of him stays. It doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have anything to sweat. You don't have any issues to deal with. Because the real you and the real essence came from him and it stays in this New Jerusalem. Everything else just goes... Phew. This isn't something that you just
know about. This is something that you have to live. By one offering, you have been perfected forever. Why change perfection? Just rest in that. Amen? Anybody else? Any questions? Mr. Burke? All righty.
It's good to be back amongst the living.
Yeah. Do you want to talk to me this morning? Okay, because it's going to be needful for you to get to me early today, because I don't think I'm going to last too long. All righty, well, we'll visit then after we eat and stuff. Okay. All right, take a big guy.